on the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. This is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show, brought to you by A-Plus Signs, California Business Machines, by Doghouse Grill, by Fresno Rack and Shelving, by Mega Prints, Suncrest Bank, and by United Security Bank. Now live, this is the Justin Hutson Coaches Show. Here is your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler.
And welcome to the Coach Justin Hutson Show. It's been a couple weeks since we've hung out here on the patio of the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. The fireplace is going in the corner. The Christmas decorations are up. It's plenty warm in here. And the Red Wave is here. If you're part of the Red Wave, come join us. You might just win tickets. You've got three home games in a row before the Bulldogs return to conference play on the road on New Year's Day. So this Friday night against IUPUI, a week from tonight, next Monday, against the Dons of USF. And then we'll wrap up the homestand on December 28th against the Highlanders of UC Riverside. Three home games in a row. Tickets for each one of them, just $10. There are even some better ways you can go to those games that we'll tell you about tonight. But let me congratulate Coach Justin Hutson on his first road win of the year. Didn't come easy. Nothing comes easy in this game, it doesn't seem. And when did you realize, I mean, you knew you didn't have Noah Blackwell, your senior guard. When did you realize Jared Hyder wouldn't be able to go on Saturday night either?
Saturday morning probably. I figured, you know, I know he had tendonitis. He has a bad tendonitis in his knee. Mm-hmm. Those things will be very painful. He's had some hip flexor problems over the course of this year. We've been working to get him healthy. And when he was limping around Saturday morning, he couldn't go and shoot around. I pretty much prepared for it.
Well, and it seemed like that adjustment continued during the game. By halftime, it's a fairly close game. They get one right before the buzzer, and they're within three at halftime. What did you feel made the difference in the second half in a game where you end up beating them by 25, 62-37?
Well, we didn't turn the ball over, which helped. You know, we slowed it down and got it inside and then made some big threes. And we defended pretty well. You know, I thought we had a good game defensively. Not as dominant as maybe the scoring team. You know, I thought they missed some good open looks, you know, at Cal Poly that they normally would make. But I also thought our defense, you know, was a big part of that.
Well, it seemed like your length and your pressure got to him early in the second half and enabled you to extend that lead a little bit.
You can't pressure too much with Noah and New out, I mean, or with Noah and Jared out, you know, and Dots playing 40 minutes, and New would have if he wasn't in foul trouble. You know, it's not too much pressure you can put on, and that's the way we really like to play. But you want to try to pick your spots where you can turn it off and on off a free throw or a made basket, and they're right there in front of me in the second half, so maybe you can help them a little bit. And it helped us. It definitely gave us a spurt.
Yeah, and we're not here to, you know, talk about losses or rub anything in, but that did snap a five-game losing streak. And that losing streak, it was all games that could have been wins, that you were in, that you were close enough, that things just didn't go your way. Three overtime losses already this year. Do you see some growth through that, some things that maybe your team, especially some of your younger guys, have learned by the games where you were almost there but for whatever reason couldn't quite finish with a victory?
No, not really. I mean, I think that's, you know, you have coaches speak, but you also have media speak.
Right.
You know, they go from one game to another. You know, you lose one game, and then all of a sudden you win one, and you learn some great lesson that you're going to carry on for the remainder of your life. But, you know, you're building it. The bottom line is you're trying to get better every day, and you're building, you're using every experience. You know, we took our shot at the end of the first half was too quick. And it was a bad shot, and it was too quick, and it happened to us at Northridge, something we've worked on in practice. And So, yes, are we using those experiences to teach? Yes. Are we using those experiences to work on them in practice? Yes. Are we showing film? Yes. But, you know, I'm not saying that we've turned the corner now. I mean, things have to go your way. You know, at San Diego, it was bad calls. At Northridge, you know, it was giving up a run. You know, at Utah State, it was just a fight. And it's whoever's going to make the better plays at the end is going to win. So it's not necessarily like we're learning some magical lesson that now all of a sudden we're going to win every close game.
Even though you would love it if you did.
But it did. I'm glad it wasn't a close game.
Absolutely. And there are a few reasons why, and we'll talk about that. I do want to get to some questions. You can send your questions in on Twitter if you use the hashtag. What's the hashtag? It's Ask Hutt, H-U-T, Ask Hutt with the hashtag, and we'll pass that on to the coach. You have three chances over Christmas break to catch the Bulldogs at home at the Save Mart Center. Two games before Christmas, one game after Christmas, and then they launch back into conference play on January 1st against a San Diego State team, by the way, that's still undefeated and is number three in the net rankings that came out today. That's what used to be the RPI, a new formula for deciding what teams are really all about. And the Mountain West so far this year, Coach, has some teams off to a pretty strong start. How different has it been this year, where you had that week of conference play, then this last week you had to jump back into non-conference, and now you've got three more non-conference games before you go back into Mountain West play? How much during that stretch are your coaches and even you paying attention to what else is happening in the conference?
I'm sure my coaches are, but I don't. You know, I worry about the next game. You know, so if there's a game on TV of a team we're going to play and it happens to be on TV, then I'll watch it. But most of the time I'm preparing exactly for the next game, you know, and people that want to get ahead, whether it's our coaching staff, whether it's family, whether it's friends, I usually shut them off real quick because it's just not how you work. You know, you want to try to worry about the next practice and getting better, especially when you've had New out for three or four games and Noah in and out for three or four games and now Jared's out. You're trying to figure out what's the best way to win. So you're spending a lot of time. You're changing a little bit of things. You're adapting. So you don't have time to really worry about what's going on in the preseason, and nor did we last year. You know, even though we won some games last year, it wasn't like you were looking ahead like you have some big matchup coming in January. You're worried about getting ready for IUPUI right now.
IUPUI, that's who's coming to the Save Mart Center Friday night. I'm just curious, with all the red waivers here, does anybody know IUPUI's mascot?
No.
Has anyone ever heard of IUPUI before?
No.
Some of you have. All right, yeah. Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, home of the Jaguars. The Jaguars are coming to the Save Mart Center on Friday night. And if any IUPUI fans are listening, that was not intended at all as a slight. I was just curious. It was an honest question for our Bulldog fans here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight. We've got some Bulldog basketball tickets to give away for that IUPUI game, as well as a big one a week from tonight against a San Francisco team, the USF Dons, who are off to a great start at 9-2. That's going to be a big one a week from tonight. Coach George had a question here. It just says, status of injured players. So we're talking Noah Blackwell, we're talking Jared Hyder, we're talking Chris Seeley. Anything you can share to illuminate those three situations?
They're in finals week right now. That's the first thing and foremost. So they're getting ready for finals. So you wanted to make sure this morning, we took today off to get them ready for finals, and because we have injuries and we've had a pretty long stretch here. Jared's still hurting, knee's still hurting, caught a little bit of the flu. Noah, we're not sure how long he's going to be out, whether it's another month or another couple weeks, you know, or if it's longer than that. And Chris has been in concussion protocol, and that's really all I know.
So there hasn't been any update to that concussion situation?
Still has symptoms.
So he still hasn't been able to practice, which means obviously he can't play if he can't practice.
Correct.
All right. Hope that answers your question there, George. If you have a question and you'd like to join us here at the Elbow Room, we're going to be here till 7 o'clock. I can tell everybody's enjoying their food already. What's that?
We would hope we get Jared for Friday is what, to also answer George's question.
All right.
You know, to put a little extra on it, what do you think is going to happen? We would hope that Jared would be ready by Friday, but not sure.
All right, because the last time he played was Cal, and that would be 9 days between games, hopefully enough to get rid of that inflammation. And when you're in a tendonitis situation, that's really what it is. It's inflammation, it's pain tolerance. So it's kind of a day-to-day thing.
Yes, sir.
And I imagine for you that's kind of hard too, because part of you says, well, maybe I give him an extra game off. Does he last longer until this happens again, right?
You're trying to win every game. So, you know, you also want to make sure he's healthy for the long run. So you're going to really rely on your medical staff on that. You're not going to push a kid out there who's hurt. And you're also not going to save a kid that's healthy. So you're going to kind of rely on the young man and the medical staff. They're going to make the decisions. The coaches aren't deciding who's playing out there in those situations.
Well, that's a very thorough answer to George's question. Friday night against IUPUI, we hope we can see Jared Hyder, the freshman, back on the floor for the Bulldogs. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip. Our coverage will start at 6:15. We're here till 7 tonight. The coffee just came out. I'm about to take a sip of mine here in a second. Fran, how are those sweet potato fries here tonight? Sweet potato fries are good. Everybody's enjoying it. He's got some crostini there, some bruschetta, looks like.
The food
avocado
here is so
toast.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, in the atmosphere, the spirit here, the Christmas spirit, it kind of gets me into it here.
Well, and you're wearing red. I wasn't smart enough to wear the red tonight, but there's a lot of red and green. And even some Christmas presents in the corner. I'm not sure who those are for, but we'll have to check that out. We're hanging out at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village with Coach Justin Hutson. And we're here till 7, so come join us. Keep it here on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show, talking Fresno State Bulldog basketball here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village until 7 o'clock tonight. If you're out and about, swing on by Fig Garden Village. It's lovely, cozy, Christmassy out here on the patio at the Elbow Room. The full menu available to you. You might win some Bulldog basketball tickets. And if you can't make it, you can still fire away with your questions for the coach if you use the hashtag AskHut on Twitter. You have three games coming up at home, a three-game homestand starting Friday against the Jaguars of IUPUI. $10 tickets, but there's a better deal if you follow Fresno State on social media. All you have to do is go to the box office Friday night, show them your smartphone or device that says, yeah, I'm following Fresno State Athletics on social media. You're going to get in for free on Friday night. I don't think you can possibly beat that. It's also the Toys for Tots teddy bear toss, so if you have a stuffed animal, you can bring that, toss it on the floor, and it'll go to kids in need. Students always get in free at the Save Mart Center. Every Fresno State student can get in free for any game, and you can also bring a guest in free for any game. So don't forget that if you're a Fresno State student. All right, back with Coach Hutson, whose Bulldogs won 62-37 at Cal Poly on Saturday night. And Coach, you coached there at Cal Poly as an assistant under Kevin Bromley. I'm sure you remember some Bulldog Mustang battles of those days. What was it like being back there at the Mott Athletic Center coaching Fresno State, being the visiting team against the Mustangs?
Small world. You know, we in basketball, and this, you know, you always talk about 6 degrees of separation in life. You know, in coaching and basketball, you're always going somewhere if you've been doing it as long as I have at you. You say, wow, what about this guy or this place? Or I remember you reminisce. And I was there a brief time. I was there 2 seasons. You know, what was it, about a year and a half? And it was a fun time. It was my first time college coaching. I did a lot of recruiting my first year. You know, a lot more coaching my second year. And then I moved on. And it was real quick. But I developed some friendships over there that are long-lasting. And it was a business trip, like the Red Wave said here. The timeout club went, and it was, as soon as I walked out of the locker room, I seen a lot of bright red, and it was really nice to see that support. And I know our guys really appreciated it, and I do, you know, tremendously, and I'll say it every time, you know, especially them showing up here, showing up there. And it was nice. It was really nice to go back to Mott, but it was a business trip. You weren't able to enjoy, and, you know, I'm not very cordial when I'm seeing people that I saw 10 years ago. I'm giving them a hug and shaking their hand, but you're worried about the game.
Well, and you had plenty to worry about. You didn't have the two guys who've done the bulk of your ball handling this year, and Noah Blackwell and Jared Hyder. So Mustafa Lawrence, Dot, as y'all call him, was thrust into that position. And he got a lot of experience. I mean, he had a chance to run the show. There was some good, there was some bad. What do you think are the growth areas there that you say, hey, maybe over those 40 minutes some progress was made and we're going to be better off for it long term, that we couldn't do what we normally do in terms of initiating offense?
You know, Dot was a warrior. He played 40 minutes, and it's who you had. And he's a good spot-up shooter. He's a very good spot-up shooter. And he's shooting, I think, 38%. You know, obviously he made the big one at home, that, you know, against Winthrop. He went down to Northridge, and he made 4 3-pointers. You know, playing point guard is something. He's a little bit out of position. And for him, he does have some leadership ability. He has some leadership qualities. So you're trying to get him to make the simple play. Throw it inside, make the easy play. We don't have to be spectacular. And that's something that we've been preaching since we've been here. And Dot actually came in and watched film this morning of some of the good things he did and some of the things we can do better, and I hope that young man is going to continue to get better.
Well, and you have a few guys like that who you can see that it's there, that there is progress being made, even in the course of games. One of the things that I noticed early in that game, right out of the gate, Aguirre Gao, who was back in the starting lineup, he gets called for a charge. Then he gets called for a travel. And there are some other times this year where in either one of those situations, he might have gone back to the bench and you have somebody else in there. In this case, you let him ride it out, and here all of a sudden, the next time he drives into the paint, comes to a jump stop, he doesn't bowl the guy over, you end up with a productive possession off of it, and he had a nice little stretch of scoring there.
Yeah, when you're not as deep as you were, they get to play through some more mistakes.
I knew there was a catch there.
And we show Aguirre a lot of film, and we're going to show him this tomorrow, him and Anthony of Sam. And it took Sam a while to be more aggressive off the dribble at the spot that he was at. But once he got aggressive, you could see Sam drive, and he was always under control. And his head was up, and he found people. And then as the year went on, he started scoring baskets in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is a process. So Aguirre is being very aggressive, and I love that about him. I want Aguirre to be aggressive. I want our whole team to be aggressive. You know, we have to come back and work on those shot fakes where he's not traveling. We got to continue to work on the jump stops, because if we're going to win games, we can't beat ourselves with turnovers and charges.
So you're going to take some film of Sam Bittner last year as a senior and have Aguirre Gao and Anthony Holland watch it for a kind of a roadmap?
They have before, and they will again, and they'll see some similarities, because Aguirre has done a better job of late of driving in there and jump stopping, and he is capable of going in there and finishing when it's open. But now when people come and step in his way, that obviously that means somebody is open, so he needs to stop to give himself vision and find somebody else.
I was impressed with Anthony on Saturday, too, Anthony Holland, the freshman. He seems to be one of the more versatile guys, a guy that you can stick in a lot of different places when you need him there, and he'll get the job done. He hits a couple threes from the corner, got a career-high 8 rebounds. And he's one of those guys, I think most of the times he's on the floor, he's that guy who, I don't know if he sees it faster or he reacts to it more quickly, but he goes after those loose balls, and a lot of times he's the first guy there.
Anthony was huge for us in this game. You know, you go back and watch the tape, and you can see all the little things that he does out there. And he's been in it at a lot of close games at the end of games. And he's made big plays, big three against Winthrop, big steal at USD. Mm-hmm. Where, if their goaltending call goes another way, all of a sudden you're looking at that big steal that he had on the defensive possession, because you can count on him. You can count that he's going to be in the stands. He's pretty smart out there, and he's mature for beyond his years for a freshman.
Let's talk about one of your seniors, because that's what Tony wants to know about. She has very good penmanship, and her question that she wrote down for us is, why are you laughing? She does. Look at that printing. You can read every letter. From the sidelines, it appears that New Williams is trying to step up into a senior leadership role. Do you think that is the case? Asked Tony.
Absolutely, Tony. And he's been doing that from day one, but, you know, those injuries, his back injury kind of stopped him. And, you know, he has a ways to go to continue to get better also, but he's never wavered with his attitude and his effort. He's always been there ready to go. He's always been a positive influence, and he's getting better and better and better at it. He was a big voice for us in the locker room at halftime, and he backs it up with effort all the time. And, you know, I can't be more proud of New. And we're going to feature him more, but he also has to play within himself. But he brings his attitude and effort every day, and you're spot on with that, Tony, you know, and we're proud of New.
And now that he's finally healthy, we're seeing that explosiveness really come out. It opens up so many elements of your game, and it's just hitting me. The Red Wave, other than these folks here who went to Cal Poly on Saturday night, most of the Red Wave hasn't seen that New Williams yet in person, because really had the breakout game at Utah State, followed it up with a big game at Cal, played well again at Cal Poly. Over those three games, he's averaging almost 20 points a game. How big a difference can he make for you when that athleticism is on display, he's hitting shots from the perimeter, and it's all under control with no turnovers? He had zero turnovers on Saturday.
Not only are the freshmen learning, the seniors are learning their role. Every year is different. Every year is different. When I played at Cal State Bakersfield, my junior year, we were undefeated. And we had everybody come back. And our coaches would say, it's still a different team. Mm-hmm. And it was, because everybody had different aspirations. Everybody wanted a little bit more. Okay, if you were a sixth man, you wanted to start. If you were starting, you wanted to be the star. If you were the star, you wanted to be an All-American. And so it's about managing the expectations and the roles and the egos. And New was doing perfectly fine until he hurt his back. And it set him back for a while, and he had a couple bad shooting games. And, you know, he has to get into a rhythm, and I think he has in the last three games. And he does have a motor. He could have played two games. You know, New doesn't get tired. He doesn't get tired. So he works hard all the time, and we're going to need New to be big for us this year.
Including Friday night against the Jaguars of IUPUI. That's the next one at the Save Mart Center, 7 o'clock on Friday night. If you want to win tickets to that game, come hang out with us here at the Elbow Room tonight. Or follow Fresno State on social media. We'll tell you about some of the other promotions coming up on the three-game homestand that starts on Friday when we come back to the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Plenty of time for you to join us. The food's great. The people are pretty great, too. We're back after this on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show, coming to you live from the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. We're here tonight till 7 o'clock. We're going to do it again in 2 weeks from tonight, so put that on your calendar. Monday, December 30th will be our next Coach Hutson Show here on the patio of the Elbow Room. The food smells great. Everybody's having a good time. The Christmas decorations will thrill you, and the fire is still burning in the corner out here on the patio. We're going to be here till 7, as I said. That's when we're giving away tickets. And there are plenty of tickets because there are plenty of home games, three in a row, this Friday night against IUPUI, then next Monday night, a week from tonight, against the Dons of USF. That's a chance for you to ring in the holidays with the Dogs. You'll see what that means when they do a present unwrapping race at halftime of that game a week from tonight. Students always get in free. Students can get a friend in free as well. And at the conclusion of the homestand on December 28th against UC Riverside, that's a Saturday night game at 6 o'clock, that will be the second annual toddler race at the Save Mart Center. So if you didn't see that last year, you're going to have to catch it this year at the Save Mart Center. There's also the baby race coming up on January the 4th, which will be Star Wars Day at the arena as well. And we'll tell you more about that, what that means. But, Coach, I should ask you about this matchup Friday night, because you said you're only concerned about the game in front of you. The game in front of you is a team that's coming a long way to play you, all the way from the Midwest, the IUPUI Jaguars from Indianapolis, coming to the Save Mart Center Friday night. What are you up against?
They can shoot it. They can shoot it. They're athletic. And so our normal game plan, let's make sure they're not making a lot of threes and not making layups, and let's keep them out of transition and take care of the ball. You know, we're in the infant stages of our scout with them. Since we don't play them till Friday, we really looked at ourselves a little bit more as a staff today, and then we started in on IUPUI. And one of our assistants knows a little bit more about them than I do, but I'll watch some more tonight when I get home.
All right. One of their assistants spent a little time in Fresno. Brian Burton was on the previous coaching staff here in Fresno.
I really like him.
I do, too.
I met him in Dallas on a recruiting trip this summer, and he texted me before I came, you know, he was out of a job, so you try to make some calls to see if you can help. And I said, well, I'll make a call or so. But I do know also this head coach. His head coach went to Ventura College, and that's where I went. He's a little younger than me, so he went after me.
Uh-huh.
We share having the same junior college coach as Phil Matthews, who was a tough son of a gun. And you know, so we share stories about that all the time. So I'm very familiar with the staff.
I'll have to get some of your Phil Matthews stories sometimes. Maybe when he play USF a week from tonight.
Man, that was a tough 2 years. But I loved it. I still talk to him to this day.
Byron Rim is coaching at IUPUI now. The Jaguars and the Bulldogs Friday night, 7 o'clock at the Save Mart Center. We're taking your questions till 7 tonight here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Got another question from here at the Elbow Room. Then we'll get to some of those Twitter questions. And if you have one on Twitter, make sure you put on that hashtag Ask Hut. Christy wants to know if you can speak to Orlando Robinson's development. He had a career-high 15 rebounds Saturday against Cal Poly.
Orlando's doing great. You know, it's about the coach keeping it simple for him as a young guy. He's out there a lot. So making sure he knows where to go on offense, making sure he's able to guard different things on defense. And a lot of times the four-man position is the one that's interchangeable. And as, if you look at Orlando, you can say, wow, he's good inside. He can do some things outside. He can make a pass. He can make an open shot. You know, he can rebound the ball. But just because he can do it physically, we want to make sure that we keep it simple for him mentally where he doesn't, he's not thinking. And he can, so we've simplified a little bit more, put him closer to the basket more often. He's able to draw double teams there, you know, and he guarded better in the Cal Poly game. So his development is, he's learning on the fly. He's on an internship, and we talk about it all the time. This is what you guys wanted. You want to be able to play as a freshman. You're not sitting there watching. We're counting on you, so we need you to be consistent, and he's up for the challenge.
Can you tell when something like that transitions for a player, when he goes from being almost in catch-up mode from a timing perspective of the game's always a little bit ahead of him, he's trying to catch up till he's actually ahead of the game? Like, I saw Orlando in the game the other day, and it looked like a couple times, maybe from a good scout or whatever, but he anticipated what was about to happen on the defensive end and produced a turnover for you.
Well, when you're around him every day, sometimes you don't see the development as much as somebody would have walked away.
Sure.
You know, like when Stacy comes down for Christmas, she, you know, she might say, wow, you've been working out, you know, because she didn't see me every day. So it's the same thing with Orlando. When you're around him every day, you got to make sure you really watch the film and you say, okay, he is developing. And that's with all the young guys. It's all the young guys. And I saw somebody say on NFL Network about a week ago, the first year they're just trying to figure out where they're going.
Uh-huh.
And then when they do it year two, now you know why you're going there. And you're trying to rush that. And one thing we're trying to make sure we do is keep things consistent. And it's not easy to do with the injuries that we have. Because you don't want to all of a sudden slow it down way too much or put a guy in a position and he's always inside and he never gets to play outside, or make a huge adjustment and say, well, he can't guard this, so we're going to have to go zone. Because what you do not want is them to be freshmen next year.
Exactly.
You don't want to say, okay, we're not going to put this guy and make him jump in the water, and then next year we're going to make him do all these things and he's going to start over. No, we're going to try to stay consistent to what our strengths are and minimize mistakes, but also let them learn out there on the floor so they're not freshmen again next year.
Makes a lot of sense. It's time for another break, but just hint to Stacy, if you're listening down in San Diego, make sure you ask Coach if he's been working out when you get here for Christmas. On that note, time for another break. If you haven't joined us yet, come on over to the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village here till 7 o'clock. That's when we give away the tickets. Keep it here on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Hey, we're back at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. It's the Coach Justin Hutson Show. If you're not here tonight, what are you waiting for? Come hang out. The food is great. Everybody's having a good time. Some of them are going to win tickets and take those home. It's a three-game homestand starting Friday against IUPUI. The Fresno State Bulldogs have a chance to really pick up some momentum before they return to conference play on January 1st. The three teams coming in, Friday night, IUPUI. Next Monday night, the Dons of San Francisco, who are off to a great start at 9-2. And then on Saturday the 28th, the Highlanders of UC Riverside will be here. And I have some breaking news for you on all those games. If you're a Fresno State student, usually you can get one guest in free. But for the next four games at home, you can get two guests in free if you're a student. So you're a student, you get in free, and then your two guests get in free. And by the way, on Saturday, January 4th, against San Jose State, that's going to be Star Wars Day, a 4 o'clock afternoon start on Saturday, January 4th. I guess that's like May the 4th be with you? I don't know. January 4th, Star Wars Day, but tickets are just $8 if you go online to gobulldogs.com/StarWars2020. And yes, you can take photos with some of your favorite Star Wars characters before that game on January 4th. Before that, be there Friday night when the Dogs host IUPUI. We've got another 20 minutes or so to talk to Coach Justin Hutson about things. I know there are a couple good questions here on Twitter that I've got to pull up for you. The hashtag is AskHut on Twitter. But I haven't asked you yet about Nate Grimes, who Saturday in San Luis Obispo scored a career-high 23, had 12 rebounds, you expect that. With his help defense, he's blocking shots. And he showed that he can get out there in passing lanes and take the ball away and take it the other way to throw it down. How exciting was it for you to see so many different facets of Nate's game on Saturday.
Nate was huge for us. Man, he was big for us. He was aggressive from the onset, you know, and it starts there. You know, and it wasn't just with shooting the outside shot. You know, we talked to him about we want him to shoot the open outside shot, but and move the opposing center out away from the basket from time to time, especially when they're big. But he's starting to figure out that balance. We got him the ball a little bit different spots, but it was all about Nate's aggressiveness from the onset. And he didn't get down on himself if he made a mistake, and he stayed that way, and that showed a sign of maturity from Nate.
I guess I should ask you about a play that we had a lot of time to talk about on the radio because the officials took a lot of time to look at the monitor and review it. His second steal and what we thought would be a breakaway dunk turned not to be a breakaway because Yakola chased him down and hacked him from behind as he dunked it and then kind of landed on him and smashed him against the basket stanchion. So Nate reacted and shoved him off, got a technical for it. Is that something you have to talk to him about, or is it one of those you say, hey, I probably would have done the same thing if that happened to me?
During the course of the game, you just want to talk to him about being smart from then on out because you wanted to keep him for the remainder of the game. And, you know, with your guys and especially Nate, you want to let him know that, hey, it's not about the next play right now. Okay? Because he didn't, like you said, he didn't do it on purpose. It was a reaction thing. It wasn't like he stood there for a second, walked at the guy and pushed him. That's a whole other story. Then he would have been out. I would have took him out and we would have counseled. But it was more of a reaction type thing of a guy landed all over him and he pushed him off. And I wish he wouldn't have done it, but it wasn't malicious. And, I was hoping they wouldn't give him a technical, but since they did, you wanted to make sure that, hey, this is what it is now, so let's not make sure we don't get another one.
Well, and what I also noted was as soon as they were done reviewing it, they assessed the technical, they told you about it. As play resumed, the first thing I saw was Nate walking right back to the young man who had fouled him, who he was called for the technical for pushing, and shook his hand.
Yeah, Nate's a good guy. He didn't, you know, if you watched it and you were there, he didn't mean to do that. You know, it was a reaction. It wasn't like he sat there for a while and decided to go push the guy. It was kind of guy falling all over him, and he got him off of him. So, you know, it probably was a technical. You know, it was a bang-bang situation. They could have said no technical, but since it was, he just wanted to move on to the next play and make sure Nate was okay.
Yeah, and thankfully no one was hurt because that's scary when someone fouls you from behind in the air at the rim. A lot of bad stuff can happen. The Bulldogs had a 25-point win Saturday in San Luis Obispo. They're back on the floor Friday night at home against IUPUI. Yeah, I think they enjoyed that big win on Saturday. Here's some questions on Twitter from Alex. He always has the cerebral basketball questions for us.
Alex has great questions.
Doesn't he? I think he's our number one question asker on Twitter so far this year. AskHut is the hashtag, and he used it. He says, it seemed like you guys ran more continuity ball screen offense Saturday with success. With injuries to shot creators, is that something you guys will continue to lean on to keep the ball and the defense moving?
We did that, Alex, when we got a double-digit lead. It was something that could turn over from side to side to slow them down with actually just sitting out there holding the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to just stand out there and hold the ball. You want to make the defense move. So we did quite a few different things early on to get the lead. But once we got the lead, we did go side to side with it a little bit more. And, you know, it wasn't like we gave them a heavy dose of it early.
Right.
You know, we went side to side, and it helped us.
Well, and I guess the follow-up question that Alex also has here on Twitter with the hashtag AskHut, he said, what's your goal for your team's identity to be the rest of the year on the offensive end? What do you want your offensive identity for your Bulldogs to be?
Right now, with the injuries that we have, you know, also adding in Jordan Campbell. And this is something even more defensively that our staff talks about, discusses, watches film. It's hard to find an identity when News out three games, Noah's out three games. You would consider Noah a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Whether he brought the ball up the court or not, there was a lot of pick and rolls for Noah.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be like a, you know, spread offense quarterback. So then you say, okay, Jared could be the second guy.
Mm-hmm.
Now if other guys get a few, it's great. So now if he's out the first three games, you're going to try to find your identity a little bit. Then he comes back and you say, okay, let's get Noah the ball here on spread offense and do continuity pick and roll and do some different things and throw the ball into Orlando. Then he's out again. Now Jared's out. So now you have to adjust. You can't say you're going to run those same pick and rolls if the strategy's not the same. So we're trying to find something that's very similar, that's easy, that we can do and adjust when we get Noah back, we get Jared back, and then when Jordan's eligible in January. Now everybody's rolling smoothly, and maybe we can play a little faster, you know, still take care of the ball, throw the ball inside at Nate and Orlando, get them the ball in different areas, and attack the paint. And I think we're starting to attack the paint more the last two or three games than we did at Oregon. I thought it was too many quick shots the first couple games. Everybody was really excited, and they thought they would probably shoot it before we turn it over, right? Well, if I shoot it, then maybe I have a chance. But now everybody's starting to figure out what they're supposed to do next. And that's our goal, is to take care of the ball and take good shots and be efficient.
And that's what the Bulldogs are going to try to do Friday night at home against IUPUI, the start of a three-game homestand. Tickets just $10, 278-DOGS or GoBulldogs.com. Or if you want to get in free, just follow Fresno State on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever other social media platforms my kids are figuring out right now. Follow Fresno State Athletics on those. Show it to the box office Friday, and you're going to get in free. We also have some tickets to give away here at the Elbow Room, so that's a pretty good way to do it as well. We'll do that in about 15 minutes, right back after this with the rest of the Coach Justin Hutson Show from the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village on 940 ESPN of the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Welcome back to the Coach Justin Hutson Show. We're here for another 10 minutes or so at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village, where the Christmas decorations are out. You know, this is a great place. If you can get in, get a reservation, great place to have your office Christmas party, a Christmas lunch, a Christmas dinner. They've got the poinsettias around and the tinsel and the stockings by the fireplace in the corner. The same great menu you've always known here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. And the coffee was on point again here tonight. And I was just handed, looks like three pairs of tickets to the USF game a week from Monday. We've got four pairs of tickets to the UC Riverside game the following Saturday. We're going to be giving away some tickets here in a little bit. For the IUPUI game on Friday night, you just need to show the box office that you follow Fresno State on social media, and you're going to get in for free. Remember, students get in free every game. And for the next four games, students can also get two guests in free. So three people for every Bulldog student. If you know a Bulldog student, ask them to take you to one of those games, or all four of those games for that point. Friday night, 7 o'clock against IUPUI is the next game. We've got a few more minutes with Coach Hutson, and we've got a few more questions coming in. George, who's a longtime Bulldog fan, he was there Saturday night at Cal Poly. He was also there the first time Fresno State ever played in the NCAA tournament. Now, you may remember in the 60s they played in the NCAA small college tournament when they had that separate division, and Fresno State actually went very far in those. But the NCAA tournament as we know it, the first time the Dogs played in it was 1981 under Boyd Grant. And George and Irene went to El Paso for the first Bulldog NCAA game ever. He wants to know, where were you in 1981?
I was a 10-year-old sitting on the bench with my dad in Bakersfield, California. And I've probably been to a few games of Selden Arena, and we need to pack that Save Mart Center out eventually like they did Selden Arena. You know, there's so many good people and fans in this area. You know, so if we can continue to build that like we'll build with these young guys we have on the team, we can have something special here.
Be nice to see the fans and especially the students show up over these next four games. When a student can get two guests in free, that student section should be packed. So, Bulldog students, the call is out for you to do that. You have Friday night against IUPUI, Monday USF, and a week from Saturday against the Highlanders of UC Riverside. The next conference home game, January 4th, against San Jose State, when it's Star Wars Day. Here's another question from Scotty, part of the Timeout Club, and he says, what is the coaching concentration on improving Niven? Niven Hart, a freshman who's got a lot of ability, and saw a little glimpse of it the other day, man. When he gets off the ground, he can really attack the rim, and one of these days he's going to have one of those show-stopping dunks that everybody in the country is talking about. But I'm sure that's not all you're worried about is his leaping ability. What are the areas where you and the coaches are working with him?
I'll tell you one thing Niven can really do is shoot the basketball, too. Mm-hmm. And he's shown that. But he has to make sure that he learns a few things to get on the floor. He has to earn his time out there, and he's doing it. He's working hard in practice. But we're working on defense, obviously, being solid on that end and being able to sustain on that end and not hurt us. And he's getting better. And then also what's a good shot and a bad shot. You know, if he can learn what's a good shot and a bad shot and be a little bit more patient and let it come back to him. I mean, I think you saw the one game that he had 18, you know, and he can do that. He can shoot it. He's confident. He can score it. He can drive it. He needs to learn when, how, why. When he can learn all those questions, then he'll get more time.
It is exciting sometimes when you see a glimpse of it. You see how young this team is. And you imagine, hey, next year or 2 years from now, let's say 2 years from now, Jarrad Hyder, Niven Hart, Anthony Holland, Orlando Robinson, they're all juniors. That can be a pretty scary team with all the experience they're getting right now. What about for you with this year's team? I know it's been in flux a little bit because of injuries, and you've had a couple guards out in this last game. You're still waiting for one of your more explosive players to be eligible to play in January in Jordan Campbell. Do you have like a spot on the calendar where you're saying, hey, by this point of the season, I hope we're really clicking and we're really starting to become that team I know we can be?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, you want to try to win every game. There's no question. And you're preparing to win every game. You're never giving anybody an excuse of being young or being hurt. That's not our talk in our locker room. That's not our talk in our practices. It's about we have enough in here. Here's what we need to do to be successful in this game. But you also, with these 18 to 22-year-olds, you want to, you know, I tell them the truth as we watch film, because that's the only way. And we say we want to be heck to pay in February. We say when we get to February, don't talk about you're a freshman anymore. When we get to February and you're a senior, don't talk about you're learning how to lead. Now you know how to lead. And, you know, we had a lot of close games early that didn't go our way, and that has nothing to do with February.
Right.
You know, so when you start going, and we've already went through league and we've been through the preseason, now Jordan's on the team and hopefully most people are healthy at that time, knock on wood, then you say, wow, this team is really starting to gel. They're starting to understand their roles. They're starting to play more aggressive and figure it out in a smart way. And that's one of the things we talk about at time to time, is saying, hey, when we start getting in that second half of league and we've been to these places and we see what the competition is, what are you going to do the second time around?
It's the Coach Justin Hutson Show. We've got about 5 minutes left here at the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. The questions are still coming in on Twitter. Classic Joe on Twitter has one about Chris Seeley. We addressed this earlier in the general injury sense of all the guys that you're missing right now. He wants to know if we'll see Chris Seeley during Mountain West action. It kind of sounds like it's too soon to tell. If the concussion situation hasn't remedied itself yet, how do you put a timeline on something like that?
Yeah, we're just hoping the young man is healthy. You know, he's finishing off finals. He couldn't go to class for a while. And, you know, we're not really sure for the timetable of him being back. And when he does get back, now he's going to have to earn his time on the floor. It wasn't like he was playing a whole lot when he was first there. So now he has to get back and get back acclimated. So, you know, the main thing you focus on with Chris is making sure that he doesn't have headaches and he's getting healthy and he stays in the protocol as long as they tell him to.
Have you noticed a difference last year to this year? Other than, you know, personnel and the schedule, those are going to be different, obviously. Has there been anything different for you now that you had an off season here in town, that it's your second year as the head coach? Are there any things that are less complicated or getting a little smoother or easier for you or more enjoyable?
No, the first 2 years have been a whirlwind. They've both been enjoyable, to tell you the truth. I mean, being here back home is enjoyable. You know, being in the city is always enjoyable. Being a Fresno State Bulldog is enjoyable. So that part has been very similar. It's been the same the first 2 years, you know. But it was a lot of whirlwind both years. You know, with some of the challenges that are placed on a new coach, you get here and you're saying, okay, who's leaving? Who's staying? Then you get here and you have certain things that are going on. Who can you keep on the team? Who's not going to stay? Who can you recruit? So you're still trying to figure that out. You have a new AD coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a chance to meet that administration. Okay, what's going on there? So, you know, year one and two are very similar as far as still trying to fill out your way of all the different things that go into this job. This one especially.
Well, that's the one you have, and that's the one you got to be concerned about, right?
Well, Coach Fisher said it all the time, and I always believed it. He told me this early. You know, the best job you have is the one you have because it's yours. And it truly, there's a lot of different positives about this job. But I tell you, it's definitely positive because I'm back home, because I'm so familiar with this area. You know, you want to do it for the area. You want to work hard for the area. But it is your job. So, you know, I think everybody can relate to that, no matter if you're a head coach or you work somewhere else. You got to learn to enjoy the job that you're at and the people that you're with.
Yeah, that's great advice for everybody. We've got about 1 minute left in the show with Coach Justin Hutson here at the Elbow Room. Then we're giving away all those tickets. And again, we're here again in 2 weeks on Monday night, December 30th. That'll be our next Coach Hutson show here at the Elbow Room. One more quick question for you. Have you noticed an impact, a significant impact of any of the rule changes this year in college basketball now that you've got 10 games under your belt?
You know, they tried to call the flop and stuff a lot early. And I haven't seen it lately. I especially didn't see it at Northridge. You know, but, you know, so that was a new rule. I think the three-point line is definitely giving a little bit of effect to it. But, you know, the players will adapt. It's not the NBA line. So eventually that will adapt. I think that weeded out the average shooters. The guys that would sit out there at 19-9. I think that weeded those guys out. And now you got to be a little bit more selective on the average shooters.
Good point. Well, we're out of time, Coach. It flew by again. Thanks for spending this hour with us.
Time flies always when you're having fun. Thanks for having me, and thanks for everybody coming out. What a great place at the Elbow Room, and thank you for the Timeout Club and everybody who showed up at the Red Wave.
And we'll see you Friday night at the Save Mart Center when the Dogs host IUPUI. Thanks to Luis and Vivian here, Gonzo at our Fulton Street Studios, and the staff of the Elbow Room in Fig Garden Village. Thank you for listening to the Coach Justin Hutson Show on 940 ESPN and the Bulldog Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
This has been the Justin Hutson Coaches Show, brought to you by A-Plus Signs, California Business Machines, by Doghouse Grill, by Fresno Rack and Shelving, by Mega Prints, Suncrest Bank, and by United Security Bank. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bulldog Sports Network.
Your home of Fresno State football.
To Harper, a stiff arm, fending him off all the way to the goal line. Touchdown, Fresno State.
940 ESPN, KFIG, Fresno.